Okay, last Thursday, I had the joy of presiding over the graduation sa Grace Ministerial Academy, and 6 men graduated. Eh, siguro isipin natin, 6 lang. Ano ba yung 6 kumpara sa napakarami ng mga nagtuturo at nangangaral ng mga maling ministeryo? Well, maybe, but still, the fact that there is an abundance of false teachings, just 6 more who will teach the truth, is a joy to me. Kaya kasayahan ko ang ganun. At isa sa hinahanap natin dapat sa nagtuturong ministeryo ay nagtuturo ng tungkol sa Diyos. Paano makilala ang Diyos? Paano siya mas malaman? At ang tunay na pagkakilala sa Diyos, among other things, the emphasis is the attributes of God. Yung mga katangian ng Diyos. Ganito nagpakilala ang Diyos kung ano siya sa kanyang sarili. And this is the purpose of this series, is to know those attributes with which or whereby God has revealed Himself. At tinitingnan natin ito sa 2 kategorya. Attributes of greatness ay pinag-aralan natin for several weeks, including spirituality, life or self-existence, infinity, and consistency and constancy. Magsisimula tayo ngayon sa tinatawag na attributes of goodness. So ito ang titingnan natin. Sa attributes of greatness, the purpose is to elicit praise. Yung nakita natin ang kadakilaan ng Diyos at tayo ay maudyukan na pumuri sa Kanya. Sa titingnan natin ang mga katangian ng Kanyang kabutihan, the purpose is to elicit thanksgiving. Ito ang 2 sinabi natin na tugon natin sa Diyos. Purihin siya at siya ay pasalamatan. So we begin with the attributes of goodness. At sa unang-unang titingnan natin ay the attribute of purity. Kapag sinabi natin ang isang material ay pure, ang ibig sabihin natin ay unmixed, walang halo na mga bagay na hindi dapat kasama sa material na yon. At kapag ginamit natin ito sa moralidad, the purity of God in terms of His moral attribute, it means freedom from anything wicked or evil. Walang anumang masama, walang anumang kasalanan sa ating Diyos. Yan ang ibig sabihin ng Kanyang kasakdalan, kadalisayan, the purity of God. At sa ilalim niyan ay 3 bagay ang nakalagay. Ang titingnan natin ay holiness, righteousness, and justice. Unahin natin sa umagang ito ang Kanyang kabanalan, holiness, one of the more neglected attributes of God, and yet really a central attribute of God is His holiness. At kapag sinabi natin the holiness of God, 2 bagay ang nakalagay dito, isang positibo, isang negatibo. When we say God's holiness, on the one hand, moral excellence. Kapag tinitingnan natin ang isang tao at humahanga tayo sa kanyang moralidad, sometimes we say he is morally decent or he is morally admirable. Hindi sapat yan sa ating Diyos. Kapag sinabi natin siya holy, hindi lamang siya morally decent or morally admirable, morally virtuous. When we say God is holy, it is moral excellence. Yung kasukdulan ng kanyang moralidad ay gayon na lamang. At yung negatibo niyan, if he is morally excellent, it means that he is opposed to all kinds of evil. You cannot be morally excellent and then be neutral towards evil. Hindi ka maaring banal pagkatapos walang pakialam sa kasamaan. Eh, hindi ganyan ang ating Diyos. At ito ang hindi nalalaman ng marami, para bang sa kanilang palagay o ibigay na natin sa Diyos na siya ay morally excellent, pero pinapabayaan lang niya ang kasamaan. Hindi ganun ang Diyos. Kapag sinabi natin God is holy, He is both morally excellent and at the same time, He is absolutely opposed to all kinds of evil. Kaya yan ang titingnan natin sa umagang ito. Bago natin tingnan sa susunod na linggo, God willing, God's righteousness and justice, napakahalagang kilalanin natin ang Kanyang kabanalan. Napakaraming sinabi ng Biblia tungkol sa kabanalan ng Diyos, pero ang gamitin natin ay isang pangyayari kung saan nagpakita ang Diyos sa isang individual at doon natin narinig yung mga salitang holy, holy, holy. So there's the thrice holy God in the vision of Isaiah. Sa pangitain ni Isaiah, habang siya ay nasa templo, nakita roon ang sinabi niya ay nagpakita sa kanya ang Diyos at ang mga kerubim at serapim ay nakapalibot sa kanya at sila'y nagpupugay sa Diyos at narito lang ang isang katangian na inulit-ulit. I don't know of any other attribute. There's no passage in the Bible na inulit-ulit, righteous, 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 as important as that is, or love, 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 again, as important as that is, but here we have holy, holy, holy. At ang titingnan natin dito, yung tatlong panig, yung tatlong anggulo ng kabanalan ng Diyos na naranasan ni Isaias. Ibig sabihin, kung mararanasan natin ang kabanalan ng Diyos, ano dapat ang makita natin? Well, unang-una is the separateness of God. Sa pangitain ni Isaiah, ang sabi niya, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Kaya ang unang-una na dapat natin makita tungkol sa kabanalan ng Diyos, iba siya. Separate. At yan ang pinaka nakalagay sa kahulugan ng kabanalan. Sa lumang tipan, kapag sinabing ang isang bagay o ang isang tao ay banal, ang unang ibig sabihin ay ibinukod, inihiwalay. For example, ang isang saserdote, the priest of the Old Testament, hindi naman siya iba sa ibang mga tao, pero dahil sa siya'y saserdote o pare, ibinukod siya. Wala siyang ibang pwedeng gawin kundi yung mga bagay na may kinalaman lamang sa tabernakulo, sa una, at then sa templo, sa ikalawa. Yan ang ibig sabihin ng banal, ibinukod, hindi siya katulad ng iba. At sa templo, ang pinakabanal na kasangkapan ay ang Ark of the Covenant. Alam niyo, hanggang ngayon, itinago raw yan ng mga Hudyo nung sila'y sinalakay na ng mga dayuhan. Hanggang ngayon, pinaghahanap yan. Ang suspetsa nila na sa may isang village ng Ethiopia, marami naghahanap dyan. Sa kanilang paniniwalang, kapag nakita ang Ark of the Covenant, ay malaking treasure yan, pero wala pang nakakakita. Pero ang punto rin ay, the Ark of the Covenant was the holiest, kaya't walang pwedeng gumamit yan sa ibang bagay. Kahit pa parang baul siya, eh, hindi mo pwedeng gawing baul ng iyong mga gamit. Walang ibang pwedeng igamit ang Ark of the Covenant. Yan ang ibig sabihin ng holy, bukod. At ang Panginoon bilang holy means that God's holiness makes us conscious of the gap. That's the immediate impact. When you have a sense of God's holiness, He is different. Iba siya. Iba tayo. At yan ang unang dapat nating makita, kung kaya nga't ang isang bagay na dapat na epekto sa atin, when we treat God, kapag tayo ay nakitungo sa Diyos, our treatment of God should never exhibit carnal familiarity. Hindi pwedeng kagaya mo lang siya. And this is what many times makes my hairs stand on end when I hear people treat God like their cool friend. They want God who is cool. Someone just like them. And that just cannot be. Because God is holy. You cannot be familiar with God in a way that you can be familiar with a common friend. Hindi pwede ganun sa Diyos, sapagkat the first thing that you sense when God, when you have an encounter with God, is that He is separate. He is different. And not only that, He also is lofty. There can be no leveling with God. Isipin ninyo, sino yung nakapaligid raw sa Diyos? Cherubim and seraphim. And cherubim and seraphim are sinless creatures. Wala silang kasalanan. Pero, when they dealt with God, ang sabi ni, tinatakpan nila yung kanilang mga mukha. And these are sinless creatures. And yet, for all their sinlessness, their approach to God still was someone not on their level. At yan ang isang bagay na dapat rin nating makita. Yung sinabi sa Isaiah 6:2, yung mga cherubim above Him stood the seraphim, each had six wings, with two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. So yan, creatures, ito raw yung pinaka-highest na stature or level ng angelic creatures, the seraphim and cherubim. Ito, seraphim, plural na yan. Im is the plural of Hebrew. So, seraphim, cherubim ay mga cherubim at mga seraphim, mga walang kasalanan, subalit makikita nyo yung kanila pa rin pagtrato sa Diyos, ay may kababaang loob, mataas siya. God is lofty, even sinless creatures. Kaya God's holiness constitutes His worshipfulness, even cherubim worship God. At kaya pag tayo sumasamba, ang unang dapat na nasa kamalayan natin is His holiness. Inawit lamang natin ngayon, O worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. And that is scriptural. Nasa Biblia yan. Sa unang kronika, inyong ibigay sa Panginoon ang kaluwalhatiang marapat sa kanyang pangalan. Mangagdala kayo ng handog at magsiparoon kayo sa harap niya. Inyong sambahin ang Panginoon sa ganda ng kabanalan, beauty of holiness. If I ask you, what to you is beautiful about God, siguro most people would say, God is love. That's what makes God beautiful for them. But in the scriptures, it is holiness that makes God the beautiful God that He is. And in Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Kaya yan yung ganda ng panambahan na tayo ay sumasamba sa Kanya na ang nasa kamalayan natin ay kabanalan. So that means labor to make the holy God the centerpiece of worship. At kapag yan ang gagawin natin, the character of worship will have to be reverence. Kagaya rin sa cherubim and seraphim. Eh, palagay nyo gagawin ito ng cherubim at seraphim, yung uri ng panambahan na popular ngayon. Tinatawag nilang praise and worship. Nagko-concert, nagsasayawan. Yan ang tinatawag nilang worship. Do you think that cherubim and seraphim will do that? Magtutugtugan sa harap ng Diyos at nagsasayawan doon? Eh, hindi ang gagawin ng cherubim and seraphim. And yet, in many worship venues today, even as I speak, many are doing this, and they call it worship. We can't do that if holiness is the centerpiece of our worship. So God's separateness, God's loftiness, then God's contrariness. Yung cherubim and seraphim are sinless creatures, and yet their approach to God is reverent. Now, consider Isaiah. Isaiah, I suppose, was a righteous man. And yet, anong effect sa kanya ng encounter with God? Isaiah 6:5, nang magkagayo sinabi ko sa aba ko, sapagkat ako'y napahamak, sapagkat ako'y lalaking may maruming mga labi, at ako'y tumatahan sa gitna ng bayan na may maruming mga labi, sapagkat nakitang ng aking mga mata ang hari, ang Panginoon ng mga hukbo. So here is a righteous man, Isaiah, yet in the presence of the Holy God, anong nangyari sa kanya? Conscious of his sin. A righteous man, yet in the presence of God, he was conscious of his sin. At ito pa rin ang impact ng holiness ng Panginoon. And this, I suppose, is the reason why holiness is unpopular. When we speak of God's holiness, holiness exposes the utter unacceptability of any sin and evil. Kaya natin dinefine ng holiness, God's absolute opposition to sin and to evil. And that means kapag ine-emphasize natin ang kabanalan ng Diyos, kasama riyan yung hindi katanggap-tanggap sa Kanya ang anumang kasalanan, ang anumang kasamaan. Isip man yan, o sa salita, ang nabanggit ni Isaiah is that he is a man of unclean lips. And yet he was there in the temple, I suppose, acting in his priestly function, and yet he became conscious immediately of how unclean he was. Sa harap ng presensya ng Diyos, kahit pa ang matuwid na tao, kapag naharap ka sa kabanalan ng Diyos, ang una mong mararanasan ay ang iyong karumihan, ang iyong kasalanan. Ganyan ang nangyari kay Isaiah. And as I said, this is the reason why holiness is unpopular. Sapagkat ang ibig sabihin niyan, sinabi ng Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So, wala yan sa comfort zone natin na sa presensya ng Diyos ay sabihin na tayo ay hindi katanggap-tanggap, tayo ay makasalanan. Sa atin, madaling tanggapin ang kasalanan, lalo sabihin natin magaang lang yan o total sa isip lang naman yan. Eh, sa harapan ng Diyos, walang anumang kasalanan na katanggap-tanggap. So this is what God being holy means. Ito ang naranasan ni Isaiah. At ito rin ang magiging karanasan natin kapag naranasan natin ang kabanalan ng Diyos. Immediately we will sense God is different or separate. God is lofty above us. And God is contrary to us because we are sinners. So, anong dapat na implikasyon yan sa atin? Well, unahin natin sabihin, this is the central attribute of God. Pag sinabi natin central, it defines everything about God. No, baka magulat kayo sa sasabihin ko. That is not the case with love. Love does not define everything about God. But holiness defines everything about God. So the first thing is approach God always essentially as holy. Hindi ito ang gusto ng mga tao. Ito ang gusto ng mga tao. Yan ang kinakatawa ng bumper sticker na popular na popular. Smile, God loves you. Eh, yan yung very comforting na isipin. Now, we will have an occasion sa series na to. We will study the love of God. And it is a tremendous attribute. Magandang katangian yun na pag-aaralan natin. I glory in the love of God. But the reason why this is so popular is because one, it is so misunderstood. And second, because it is their way to neutralize the holiness of God. Ito yung kanilang pang-salag sa kabanalan ng Diyos. Pero itong gusto kong sabihin na when it comes to the essential character of God, holy is more central than loving. In fact, God's name is described as holy name. I challenge you to find in your Bible loving name. Wala. God's name is not described in terms of love. It is described in terms of being holy. 1 Chronicles 16:10, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. So it's a holy name. There is no verse in the Bible about a loving name. And again, as I've said, you can describe everything about God as holy, but not everything is loving. Take, for example, it is right to speak of a holy wrath, banal na puot, or a holy punishment. But it would be contradictory to speak of a loving wrath. Eh, yung wrath, exercise siya ng justice. Makikita natin yan sa susunod. His wrath is holy, it is an exercise of His justice, but not an exercise of love. Ganun din sa punishment. Now, i-differentiate natin yan sa chastisement. Chastisement is an act of love. Chastisement is what He does to His children. Hebrews 12, He chastises those whom He loves. So, iba yung chastisement sa punishment. Punishment is what the judge imposes on sinners. At yun ay holy. Pero hindi natin matatawag na loving punishment. Kaya dito makikita natin, holy defines everything about God, but not so with love. Kaya yung gustong-gusto ng mga tao, pag-ibig, maganda yan at lalo't maunawaan natin. Pero yung kabanalan ang totoo sa kabuuan ng Diyos. Kaya dito natin makikita na when you approach God, you must approach Him always with the centrality of His holiness, na siya ay banal. And that means also attend to the things of God with reverence. So if God is holy and we revere Him, so the things of God should be attended to reverently. Ano ba yung sinasabi natin things of God? the things of God are those that have directly to deal with God. Halimbawa, yung ating panambahan. Pag tayo'y nagtitipon, the worship of God as an assembly is a thing of God. How do you treat it? Eh, pag baliwala yan sa'yo, it shows your treatment of God. Hindi ka pwedeng sabihin mo na mahalaga sa akin ng Diyos, pagkatapos yung mga bagay ng Diyos, binabaliwala mo. Yan yung contradiction ng mga nagsasabing, ay, sa bahay na lang ako, doon ako sasamba sa Diyos. Eh, pagkatapos pinababayaan, yung bagay ng Diyos na sinabi niya ay mahalaga para sa Kanya. Kaya when we gather together, ay dapat ang nangingibabaw ay reverence. Much of professed Christian's treatment sa mga bagay ng Diyos, lalo na sa assembly, ay inaakala nila be lenient, be free. Kung anong gusto mong gawin, eh hindi pwedeng ganun. When we say reverence, it combines the idea of fearfulness as well as respect. Yung respect sa isang royalty. Kapag ikaw ay nasa harap ng isang karangalan o isang hari, you treat with respect. Well, that is how we treat God, with fearfulness and respect. Makikita natin yung combination niya sa Hebreo. Kaya pagkatanggap ng isang kaarihan hindi magagalaw, ay magkaroon tayo ng biyayang sa pamamagitan nito, ay makapaghahandog tayong may paggalang at katakutan ng paglilingkod na nakalulugod sa Diyos. So pansinin niyo yung combination ng paggalang at katatakutan. There is both fearfulness because He is a holy God. Parang katulad yan sa mga pari noon sa Old Testament. Alam nyo ba, pag pumasok sila sa temple, meron silang bell sa kanilang ankle at merong tali sa kanilang paa. Kasi there is the possibility that God will be displeased with the way they violate the worship of God, and God can just smite them there. Nangyari yan sa mga anak ni Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. At nung nagtagal si Zacharias, yung tatay ni John the Baptist, sa temple, natatakot na yung mga tao kasi baka pinatay na siya roon. So yan ang ibig sabihin na, of course, God will not do that today in the sense that there is more of the mediation of Christ. But the point is, when we approach God, there is fearfulness, but at the same time, respect, utter respect, when we deal with the things of God. And this reverence is to be most consciously applied to His Word, sa Kanyang salita. Saan natin, wala na tayong Ark of the Covenant, wala na tayong altar na hinahandugan ng mga hayop. Saan natin ipinapakita yung reverence na yan? To His Word. At yan ang sinabi ng Psalm 138, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For, take note, you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Exalted above all things, pinagsama niya. Kung talagang pinapahalagahan mo ang kanya, itinataas mo ang kanyang pangalan, ipapakita mo ito sa kanyang salita. Yan ang tingnan natin. Pinapahalagahan mo ba ang iyong salita? This is the reason why we spend years in GMA studying the Bible so that we may treat it with reverence. We may let it speak what it means and not be footloose towards its meaning. Why? Because it demands reverence. Paggalang, igalang mo ang salita ng Diyos. So we must attend to the things of God with reverence, and thirdly, affirm the sense of sin with conviction. Eh, kagaya kay Isaiah, sa harap ng kabanalan ng Diyos, hindi maaring mawala ang kamalayan ng kasalanan. Sapagkat sa simpleng kadahilanan, makasalanan tayo. Kung yung mga anghel, mga kerubim, ay buong paggalang ang kanilang pakikitungo sa Diyos kahit wala silang kasalanan, at si Isaiah, even though he may be a righteous man, yet in the presence of God, immediately ang naramdaman niya yung kanyang pagkamakasalanan, and that is unavoidable. We see this in the reaction of Job. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. Anong effect sa kanya with the encounter with God? I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Before this, before his encounter with God, anong ginagawa ni Job? Well, vacillating. Dinidepensahan niya ang sarili niya. And then ikalawa, umaasa siya sa Diyos. Pero nung na-encounter na niya, yung sinabi niyang, now I see you, anong effect sa kanya? I abhor myself. That's sense of sin. And that is the reality para sa isang tunay na nakakakilala sa Diyos. Before the holiness of God, there is no more appropriate reaction than sense of sin. Kaya para sa atin, the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man will remain major themes of our discourse. Kaya pagdating sa holiness of God, this is the classic I would recommend to you. R.C. Sproul, The Holiness of God. Pagdating sa sinfulness of man, the classic is Arthur Pink, The Total Depravity of Man. At yung nakakaalam ng kanyang kasalanan, samantalang na humahanga sa kabanalan ng Diyos, that is the man who will pursue holiness. And the classic on the pursuit of holiness, Jerry Bridges, Pursuit of Holiness. Now, anong connection nito sa ating Panginoon nang siya ay nagkatawang tao? Well, tandaan natin, Christ's holiness is in the humble status of being under the law. Hindi siya holy as a man bilang Diyos. Ang kanyang kabanalan ay kabanalan na kanyang ipinamuhay bilang pagsunod sa kautusan. So his perfect holiness includes total sinlessness. And yet, in his sinlessness, it does not mean that he did not experience temptation. Ito ang balance na pangungusap ng kasulatan. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. This is one of my favorite verses because it is so comforting to know that Jesus went through temptations. At hindi lang basta temptation, sabi, tempted in all points as we are. And that is why he can sympathize. When a man is struggling with sin, you don't condemn him. Jesus sympathizes with him. And yet, the victorious fact is that Jesus overcame all temptation. He never sinned, not one sin on the part of the Lord Jesus. At ito ang ating panghawakan, ito ang ating pananagumpay, hindi yung sarili nating tagumpay, kundi na nagumpay ang ating Panginoon. And that is the reason why I rejoice in every addition to ministry of people who will speak more of the holiness of God, emphasize the sinfulness of man. So last Thursday, it was a joyful day in Grace Ministerial Academy. 6 men graduated from many places. This is James Francisco Tarlac. This is Oliver Dichoso, Cavite, Alan Joel Caparas, member in San Pablo. Of course, you know, Ferdy Facundo, co-elder of Rodelasco, June Vallejo, San Pablo also, another church, and Arnel Zuniega of Naga City. So from many places, we expect more such emphasis on holiness and on sinfulness. May ginawa silang kakaiba ngayong graduation. Nagpagawa sila ng special t-shirt. Sabi nila, I survived GMA. Exactly. Sa likod ng t-shirt, sinabi nila, na-absorb na nila yung mga expressions and style of my ministry. So, ang mga nakalagay dyan ay note point challenge. Any question? Good morning, gentlemen. Jump 2. Kasi pag nagre-report sila, mahaba ang report. Kaya I will tell them, jump to this place. Let's open in prayer. At itong narito, ang nakalagay dyan is my warning on the official, on the initial beginning of the semester when I ask them to give a report. I tell them to make sure you do good research or else I will make your reporting memorable. At yan yung nakalagay rin. My point here is this. They stayed with me for only 4 to 5 years. And they observed. And there's nothing wrong with that. Luke 6:40 says, whoever is trained well will be like his teacher. Hindi lang he will learn from his teacher, he will be like his teacher. And that's just 4 to 5 years. And they absorbed it. But my point is, in the case of the Lord Jesus, we should absorb him more. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So you want to define what holiness of life means, it must be defined by Christ-likeness, ang pagiging kawangis ng Panginoong Hesukristo. So my challenge is, in a world that is obsessed with happiness, for the Christian, let holiness be our occupation. We will not be perfect, never in this life. But holiness is what we are after. At yan ay nagsimula sa alam nating kabanalan ng Diyos, kabanalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo, ang Kristiyano, ang hinahanap niya dapat, kabanalan. Any question? Any question? O kasama yung sa expression na ginamit nila. Patay mo na. Jean.
Pastor, yung attribute, bakit siya na-classify under attribute of goodness rather than attribute of greatness, when if you know the Lord as holy, then it should elicit praise more than thanksgiving?
Remember that the way we differentiated between greatness and goodness is that greatness are the non-moral superlatives of God, while goodness are the moral superlatives. So non-moral means we are not looking at moral character, but rather yung essential greatness. Kaya tinilagay natin doon spirituality, infinity. But holiness, definitely, or purity, definitely, is a moral character. That's why we are putting that under the umbrella ng goodness. So yun ang, of course, they are still great. But sa theology, ang distinction is between non-moral superlatives and moral superlatives. Other questions? Questions or thoughts you'd like to share? Tess.
Yun pong sinabi sa Hebrews 12:14 na pursue holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So,
yes.
Diba, napakabigat na verse ito. So, without which, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
Anong sabihin,
may tanong ka? Ang ibig kong sabihin ay siguro, iibahin ko po yung tanong. Hindi na po ba yung pagiging self-righteous na magpupurso ka ng ganon?
Hindi. If you look at the context, it is the purpose ng chastisement sa Hebrews 12. Chastisement in order to produce yung righteousness. Kaya bagamat mabigat ang disiplina ng Panginoon, ang purpose nun ay para magmunga tayo ng katuwiran. At doon sinabi na the prison is because without holiness no man shall see the Lord. What does that mean? It simply means that a true believer is holy. And a person who is not holy, meaning not seeking to be holy, is not a true believer. So hindi ito salvation by holiness or salvation by works. We don't believe that. But we are saying that true salvation produces the chief evidence, and the chief evidence is holiness. So doon sa classic ni Jonathan Edwards, Religious Affections, ang maging sa kanyang Charity and Its Fruits, ito ang palagi niyang pinakadidiinan. The chief fruit of salvation is holiness. So hindi yung magaling, hindi kahusayan, kundi kabanalan. And that's the reason why Hebrews 12:14 tells us, without holiness no man shall see the Lord, because without holiness, there's no evidence that one is a true believer. Now, ang holiness, may kanya-kanyang degrees. Hindi natin sinasabi na kinakailangan ng holiness ng isang Kristiyano ay nasa pinakasukdula na. But we all seek to be holy. And let our prayer be like that of John Newton. I put it in my own calling card na sinabi niya, Lord, make me as holy as it is possible for a redeemed sinner to be. And that should be our quest. We want to be as holy as a redeemed sinner can be. We will never be perfect. Don't even imagine that. But we should seek to be as holy as we can be. Other thoughts? Ike.
So, tatanong ko lang yung many other religions would have a label of holy man sa kanilang Buddhist, even Catholics would have their own label of holy man. And then, kapapaliwanag mo lang, Pastor, yung degrees of holiness ng isang mananampalataya. How do we explain this to, yun nga, yung, sa ibang religion, yung holiness ng Panginoon, contrast doon sa kanilang tinatawag na holy man or holy sa kanilang reliyon?
Yeah, malimit sa mga tinatawag nilang holy man is someone who has given himself to meditation, to ascetic living. Ganyan halimbawa sa Buddhism, kaya tinawag si Gautama Buddha, the enlightened one, ay dahil ibinigay niya ang sarili niya. At yan ang makikita natin na their idea of holiness is someone who is ascetic and one who has given himself to that work of meditation, whereas our idea of holiness is someone who is there, salt and light in the world. Holiness is tested in your workplace, in the midst of unbelievers. So, kaya ang Kristiyano, ang isa sa mga titulo ng mga Kristiyano ay saints, mga banal. Hindi sila dumaan sa sainthood process ng Roman Catholic Church, because we believe that sainthood in its biblical sense, in its New Testament sense, is carrying Christ-likeness where God has put us in our day-to-day vocation. Kaya yung holy man sa atin ay holy man and woman in the ordinary setting of the day-to-day where he carries Christ-likeness. Other thoughts?
Ano po ba balansehin when it comes to treating the pastors? Kasi minsan po, may ibang mga tao na ang tingin nila sa mga pastor ay parang hindi sila makalapit, para bang napapalibutan sila ng something na liwanag na hindi sila makalapit sa pastor.
Paano po namin? Yun ang iingatan natin. Kung may pumapalibot man sa amin, mas mga demonyo yung pumapalibot. At wag nating isipin ng pastor ay yung tinawag ni Brother Ike na the holy man. Hindi. Holiness is something that is true of all believers. And therefore, there is something special about the calling of a pastor. There's no question about that. Dr. Lloyd-Jones considers the ministry of preaching the word as the highest calling in the sense of its contribution to the kingdom. But the man in the pastorate is no different when it comes to struggle with sin and issues of life, and he needs as much the prayers of God's people. So, merong mga pastor na unapproachable, snub, may kilala ba kayong ganun? may mga ganun, pero it's just their personality. It's not because of their office. Siyempre, kahit nasa office na sila, dala-dala pa rin nila yung kanilang personalidad at hindi maiiwasan yun, pero hindi sila naiiba when it comes to being people who are as human as anybody. Myla.
Pastor, tatanong ko lang sa isang Kristiyano na nagsimula siya na hindi niya talaga nauunawaan yung holiness, biblical holiness ng Panginoon, and yung biblical na holiness na karapat-dapat sa Kristiyano. And then, natagpuan niya yung katotohanan afterwards that it is very much treasured sa kanya. Ang naging effect sa kanya ay pag siya ay nagtuturo, parang napapa-over-emphasize yung bagay na to, yung sinfulness at kabanalan na dapat mangyari dahil ganun ang Diyos. At kung makita rin ko dun sa mga bunga niya, is there something imbalance or...
Well, yes, it is possible for a person to overemphasize the issue of holiness to the point of scaring off yung individuals, Christians. Diyan pumapasok yung how do we deal with the holiness of God is the gospel. At ito yung maganda, I failed to, but I should have extended yung vision ni Isaiah after nasabihin niyang, wretched man, woe is me because of, I am a man of unclean lips. What happened was one of the cherubim ay extended ang kamay niya sa kanya at sinabi, this has cleansed you. So that's what Christ has done to us. Yes, we are unclean, we are sinful and depraved, we don't deserve to approach God, but Christ has done something for us. So when we approach God, it is not because of who we are, what we have done, but because of what Christ has done. So yung balance nito ay God is holy, we will not treat that any less than what scriptures give to the holiness of God. But the way for the Christian to approach God with acceptance is because of Jesus Christ. So yun ang balance, the gospel.
Yung salitang banal, ang intindi natin noon is yun nga, kung ibabase natin sa sinabi ng scripture, holy, so sinless, ganun. Pero paano mo ito maipaliwanag sa isang di mananampalataya pag sinabi mo, gaya ng sinabi kanina, na ang mga Kristiyano ay tinawag na banal, pero hindi naman sila sinless. So medyo confusing para sa isang Kristiyano, sa isang hindi panakakaunawa ng scripture, para sa isang hindi mananampalataya na sasabihin na ang mga Kristiyano ay banal, pero hindi naman. So paano natin ito mapapaliwanag? Ano talagang distinction ng isang Kristiyano sa hindi Kristiyano in terms of pagiging banal?
Well, para sa Kristiyano, ang pagiging banal ay hindi ibig sabihin na sinlessness. The holiness of the believer is, first of all, the fact that Christ has redeemed him from sin and therefore has put him on, yung sinabi ng 1 Corinthians 1:30, in him we are, he is our sanctification. Yung kabanalan natin ay sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Kaya't yun ang unang-una. And then after that, as a result of that, the Christian is committed to a life of holiness, even though there will never come a time in this, on this side of glory, that we will be sinless. But a Christian being in Christ is now committed to a life of Christ-likeness and holiness. Other questions? Follow up.
Okay. So, sa mata ng isang nag-oobserba, ano ang magiging pagkakaiba? Paano makikita ng isang hindi mananampalataya na ito ay Kristiyano at committed siya sa life of holiness in contrast sa isang hindi? Ano ang makikita? Ano ang...
Well, makikita sa kanyang buhay, sa kanyang commitment. At ang alam nating kabanalan, akala ng iba ang kabanalan ay pagsisimba, paggagawa ng mga relihiyosong bagay. But we know what holiness is. We know what holiness is in terms of the Word of God as our standard and conformity to Christ as our model. So we know what holiness is and we are committed to that even though we have our own struggles. But in the case of those who do not know what holiness is, haanap sila ng kabanalan na akala nila ay sa relihiyon, sa simbahan, sa mga moralidad, at sa ibang bagay. Other questions, please. Tita Alice.
Doon po sa pinagalingan kong church sa northern part ng Luzon, ay... pag ini-introduce po yung, ay lagi pong sinasabi ng pastor na be holy for I am holy. Lagi po niya pinipreach yun. Then he want himself to be introduced as the holy man of God. Expedient po ba yun, pastor? The holy man of God.
Pag sinasabi niyang be holy as I am holy, siya yung I? Yung bang ibig
niyang sabi? Hindi po. Yung pinipreach po niya lagi yun, na lahat kami be doon yun, be holy for I am holy. Yun po ang sabi ng Panginoon sa Bible. Kaya ang gusto po niyang itawag sa kanya, the holy man of God. Kaya yung question ko po ay, expedient po ba yung tawagin namin siyang the holy man of God?
Well, one of the titles of the minister, 2 Timothy 3:17, is the man of God. Pero hindi yung holy man of God ay itinawag kay Moses, ayokong gamitin na gawing titulo ng isang pastor. He is a man of God in the sense that of all the men, he calls someone to represent the word. So in that sense, he is the man of God as a title. But yung holy man of God ay hindi po ginamit sa New Testament. Ginamit lang po iyan kay Moses. Kaya hindi ko ipapayo na gamitin ng sino mang pastor para sa kanyang sarili. As I said kanina, the holy man ay maling titulo na ginagamit sa mga relihiyon. The New Testament uses the title saint para sa lahat ng mananampalataya. Are there questions? Tito Ike.
The challenge is very great. The last sentence is, in this world, we're happy, obsessed with happiness, let holiness be the occupation. We know that happiness is a very relative term for different persons. Somebody, perhaps, pag nanalo siya ng loto, maligayang maligaya. Ang isang binata, pag siya'y nanliligaw at nakamit ang matamis na oo ang kanyang nililigawan, maligaya, isang kaligayahan. Now, how would you define happiness in terms of say, spirituality so that holiness and happiness could go hand in hand together?
Salamat po. Happiness happens to be a reaction in response to a positive stimulus. Kagaya ng sinabi nyo, loto, nanalo siya, ay maligaya siya talaga. O sinagot siya sa panunuyo niya, maligaya rin siya. So you see here, happiness is a reaction to a positive stimulus, which means that it is always externally based and temporary exercise. At yan po nag-iiba, yung salita ng biyaya sa New Testament ay joy. Iba po ang joy sa happiness. Happiness is externally stimulated. Joy is internally cultivated. Because joy is the sense of blessedness from the grace of God. Kaya kahit walang stimulus, external stimulus, a Christian should have joy because a Christian always has a reason to be blessed because he is accepted by God. Kaya para sa mananampalataya, ang kabanalan ay nasa kagalakan, hindi kasayahan. Kaya ingatan natin yung diferensya ng dalawang yon. Wala namang masama na masaya tayo, pero may mga panahon na mabigat, may mga panahon na malungkot, hindi ibig sabihin na wala ng kagalakan. Kahit sa panahon ng kalungkutan, ito ang maganda sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano. Even in afflictive times, we can maintain joy. And this is the mystery to many, why a Christian can still have joy even though he is undergoing afflictions. It is because our joy is based on the gospel blessings we have in Christ. Kaya joy is holiness, happiness is just temporary. Esther.
Pastor, yung pong sa personal prayers kay God, paano po yung, how do you reconcile yung having a personal relationship with God, but at the same time, acknowledging His holiness, His separate from us sinners?
Well, it's a good question, and again, this is where the gospel blessings we have in Christ comes in. Dahil meron tayong ebanghelyo, kahit na kabanal-banalan ng Diyos sa atin at dahil sa kanyang kabanalan at tayo sa pagiging makasalanan natin, ay there should be a gap, there should be a separateness, but because of Christ, yun ang sinabi ng Ephesians 1:6, we have acceptance with God because of the beloved. Kaya tanggap tayo ng Diyos, hindi dahil sa tayo, sa ating sarili ay may angking kabanalan, kundi dahil tayo ay na kay Kristo, tinatanggap niya tayo dahil sa Kanya. Kaya samantalahin natin yun na dahil kay Kristo tayo kanyang tinatanggap. So we should be prayerful, we should be approaching our God. Pero ang hindi dapat mawala, even to a Christian, ay reverence. Even in our prayers, we should be reverent. Eh, minsan, pag nakikinig ako sa panalangin ng ibang Kristiyano, lalo na yung ilang kabataan, kung mangusap sila sa Diyos, ay parang kausap nila, ay body nila. Ingatan natin yun because He is still God and He's still holy. And therefore, our approach to Him is still one that is conscious of that holiness. Kung kahit ang cherubim, sinless as they are, very reverent, so should we. Myla.
Pastor, nag-iisip lang ako dun sa pinakita mo kanina na hindi pwede yung holy wrath and
loving wrath.
Loving wrath, sorry, at saka loving punishment. Ang tanong ko po, paano ituturo sa isang bata kagaya ni Becky and Buboy? Kasi in-explain ko sa kanila na I love them most, we love them most ng papa nila when we spank them. Pag may mali, although classified talaga siya na pag mali ang ginawa nila. Pero pag, of course, pagka nagkamali kami ng pagpalo, kasalanan namin. But that we love them most pag pinaparusahan or pinapalo namin sila. Paano ituturo din sa kasabay nun yung diferensya ng yung sa Panginoon na wrath and punishment?
Well, ang difference doon ay punishment and chastisement. Ang chastisement is a fatherly act, Hebrews 12. And because it is a fatherly act, ay when He chastises, sabi ng Hebrews 12 and Revelation 3, ay he is doing it out of love. Kaya tama na sabihin mo sa kanila, Buboy, na we love you most when we spank you. And maybe they can say, it's alright if you don't love us too much. But the point is, iba yung punishment. Yung punishment is an act of a judge. It is a judicial act. It is a function of justice, not a function of love. Kaya chastisement ang gamit nating salita para sa pagdidisiplina ng Panginoon sa mga mananampalataya. And that is love. Pero punishment and wrath, that's justice, not love. Last thoughts, Tina.
Pastor, napakapalad po natin na mga, lalo na po yung mga iniligtas po ng Panginoon dahil in approaching our God with our sinfulness, yun pong lesson natin that the name of God is holy. And yung sabi po sa Proverbs 18:10, the name of God is a strong refuge. The righteous runs to it and they are safe. So yung righteousness po natin ay dahil po sa Panginoong Jesus na naging tinanggap po natin as Lord and Savior. Yun pong sa mga parang hindi po makalapit kasi sa Panginoon dahil parang siya ay galit o banal siya at makasalanan. Napakalaking assurance po nito na pwede pong lumapit sa kanya kahit na nasa pinakailalim o pinakamasamang katayuan po tayo dahil sa meron nga po siyang kapatawaran sa atin sa pamamagitan ng Panginoong Jesus. And yun pong kahit habang nandito po tayo sa lupa, yun nga pong ang Panginoong Jesus ay nakakapag-sympathize po sa ating kasalanan because he also underwent dun po sa mga temptations. In all points, he was tempted. And yun pong sabi sa 1 Corinthians 10:13 that the Lord is able to deliver us because He is faithful. And with the temptations, He will also make a way for us to bear it. Yun po ay isa rin pong pag-asa para sa atin o para kahit na po kanino man sa mga bisita po natin na maaari po natin siyang lapitan at yun nga pong pangako niya na hindi po niya tayo itataboy sa kanyang kabanalan ay nandun po ang kanyang habag at saka kapatawaran. And yun nga din po yung isa po dun sa favorite verses ko ay yun pong nasa Psalms 27 verse 4 na kahit pa po dito sa lupa ay meron po tayong struggles because we're depraved, we're strugglings. And yet, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Nandun po yung kanina nga pong nabanggit niyo po na yung beauty po niya ay nandun sa kanyang holiness. At yun po yung masarap pong isipin ng mga Kristiyano. Makikita po natin siya na sa beauty ng kanyang holiness dahil po tayo ay kanyang pinatawad. Kaya nga po, totoo po na we can praise Him for He is great. His awesome name, He is holy. And yun po, we can exalt our Lord, our God, and worship Him, for the Lord, our God, is holy. At kaya po talagang nagpapasalamat po ako sa Panginoon na sana po magkaroon po talaga tayo ng ganong mas lalo pa natin siyang hanapin araw-araw ng buhay natin. At yun nga po, pagsikapan po natin na kung gaano po siya yung pong kanyang pagiging banal ay magkaroon din po tayo through our like Christ-likeness.
Okay, thank you, Tina. And again, pag sinabi natin the beauty of the Lord, ano yung kahanga-hanga, ano yung nagagandahan tayo sa Panginoon, it should be more than anything else His holiness, because that's His moral perfection and excellence. And yet, at the same time, we are people of sin. We struggle with temptation. And that is the reason why one of my favorite verses, Hebrews 4:15, that the Lord Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. May mga nag-aakala na Jesus just walked in the park, as they say, pagharap niya ng temptation. I don't think so. I think the struggle was even more fierce because He was sinless. And the presence of sin for Him would have been so ugly and therefore a real struggle. Kaya yung the fact that He went through those temptations and overcame them, yun ang ating katiyakan when we too have to struggle with temptation. Other last thoughts? So sana nga igawin natin na whenever we think of God centrally, like a circle is defined by its central point. So everything about God should be defined by the fact that He is holy. So let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa iyong katangian na ikaw ay puspos ng kabanalan. At nawa ay maging para sa amin ay ito ang iyong kagandahan at sinasamba ka namin sa kagandahan ng iyong kabanalan. At kami ay mga taong makasalanan, kaya sa tuwing lalapit kami sa iyo, hindi maiwasan ang kamalayan namin ng aming kasalanan. Ngunit salamat sa Panginoong Hesukristo na nang dahil sa Kanya, kami ay may dahilan na mapanghawakan ang ginawa ni Jesus. Siya ay nagtagumpay sa tukso at kami na nakikibaka sa tukso sa araw-araw ay makatitingin sa aming Panginoon para sa tagumpay at kami makalalapit sa iyo sa kabila ng aming pagkamakasalanan sa katotohanan at sa batayan na si Jesucristo ay nanagumpay at siya ang aming tagapamagitan at dahil sa kanya makalalapit kami sa iyo. And yet, whenever we approach and draw near to you, may we never lose that sense of reverence, for you are still the Holy God. And if cherubim and seraphim must cover their faces, even as sinless creatures as they are, yet they approach you with reverence. May we never lose that sense of reverence in our every thought of you, in our every approach of you. And yet we approach you on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us to be holy, even as you are holy. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.